off and running on this Thursday morning. It is Gordon Damer with you here on The Fan. Your overnight oasis has returned. 888-808-1019, the telephone number. Oh, my goodness, do we got enough to talk about? We'll do so over the next 3 hours as we take you up until the warm-up show, which comes your way at 5 o'clock. The baseball season's rolling on. The draft is right around the corner. The NBA playoffs for the Knicks start this weekend. We got some other things to dive into as well over the next 3 hours. But look, where we got to start, unfortunately, if it bleeds, it leads. And right now, the Mets are bleeding out of every orifice they got. It is not pretty. It is not good. And it is getting ugly in a hurry. Now, not exactly a shock that the Mets go out last night, are unable to beat the Dodgers. Shohei Ohtani on the mound. Mets unable to get a win. But I do think, and after the previous loss, the Mets owner Steve Cohen put out that tweet talking about green shoots. I know Evan and Tiki were a little unclear about what green shoots mean. I think that what that means is if you're a gardener, when the first little sprouts of your plants start to grow, that's what green shoots or green sprouts are. It's the beginning of something that grows into something positive. And look, when somebody of Steve Cohen's intelligence, and more importantly, wealth, says something, I think you have to weigh it. You have to take it in and weigh it and see if it actually carries any weight or is something you can just kind of dismiss. And given his knowledge of the world, of business, of finance, maybe not so much baseball, but of all those other things, I think it's fair to say. So when I was watching tonight's game, or last night's game now, and the Mets fall behind early and eventually go on to lose, I think that there are some positive things. I was watching very closely. I don't think the Mets broke any bats. And that's just good for the environment. Like, they don't need to cut down more trees because the Mets don't need any new bats. They could just keep the bats that they've... Now, the bats have not been very productive. They were not productive last night. Got overwhelmed. And it really feels like the Dodgers could pick somebody out of the audience, out of the crowd. Come on down and pitch an inning. And it doesn't really feel like the Mets would be able to take advantage. Other positives last night? Mets falling apart late. I think it was the eighth inning. I was leaving the house, and I was watching the game, and I was listening to the game in the car. And then somewhere in between the watching and the listening, all of a sudden it went from like 3-1 to 8-1. I thought, wait a second. What happened here? Apparently there was a grand slam. These things happen. Not for the Mets, but they do happen in baseball. But with that collapse, one of the green shoots, I would think, is that Dodger fans were able to leave the game early, right? Like, they didn't have to stay until the ninth inning. I wonder what's going to happen. They kind of knew what was going to happen. And I don't know if you heard, traffic in L.A., leaving those games, I've never been to Chavez Ravine, but apparently the traffic is a nightmare. So if you can stagger that, if not everybody leaves all at the same time, that alleviates a little bit of a problem. And if you really want to go big picture, you know, all those fumes from the cars, that's probably bad for the smog, bad for the environment, much like the bats. The Mets did not hit any home runs, so they did not, you know, lose any baseballs. They can use the same baseballs the next day as they use today. Again, that's savings that you don't really factor in on a baseball season. You know, if you don't use as many baseballs, that's good for the bottom line. And with a labor stoppage coming up December 1st, I would think you want to be able to paint as rosy a financial picture as you possibly can. Now, as we go through the night here over the next 3 hours, maybe we'll find some other green shoots, maybe some other positives that maybe aren't initially, you don't look at it right away and see it. You have to kind of dive in a little bit behind the scenes, a little bit. It takes a little work, but as a fan, you might want to do that. But it is amazing that we have gotten to this point of the season, and already one of the major narratives of the early part of the season, really of the entire season, but has already been proven to be 100% wrong. The idea that the Yankees were under the most amount of pressure. We are at tax day. Yesterday was tax day. And we're already having multiple conversations about whether or not Carlos Mendoza is going to survive this road trip. Now, part of that is just how bad it's looked, but that shows you that he came into the season kind of on the hot seat. Like, an 8-game losing skid is not good any part of the season. But if the Mets had had a successful season last year, they had made the playoffs last year. If they had won a playoff series last year, you know, an 8-game losing skid, first month of the season. I'm not saying fans aren't going to be panicked or aren't going to be upset. Of course they are. But your job's not going to be in jeopardy. So this idea that somehow Aaron Boone and the Yankees and Brian Cashman, oh, they're under way more, they're under the most pressure in baseball. No, they're not. They don't look at it that way. And at the end of the day, that's who determines, did you rise or fall to the pressure presented to you? The Mets right now, clearly under far more pressure than the Yankees, and I would say probably under far more pressure than any other team. So that narrative, which we kind of went into the season with, has already been proven to be wrong. And part of the reason why is not just because it's been this bad so far, or it's because this is picking up right where you left off last year. So for Steve Cohen's tweet that he put out last night about trying to, I think, cheer up the fan base. Steve, you're a smart guy. When you're ticked off, you don't want somebody to cheer you up. What you want is somebody to connect with your state of mind, to feel the frustration and anger that you feel. The worst thing you could, if somebody's blowing off steam, the last thing you want to be is that guy that points out, well, you know, actually. You don't want to be the well actually guy. And Steve Cohen was trying to be the well actually guy. If he wants to connect with the fan base, a far better way to do that would be to say, guys, I hear you. I'm ticked off too. How about this thing? How about that thing? Now, maybe he doesn't have to name names, but that would go a whole lot further with the fan base to at least make them feel. Now, look, it's social media. Nobody's going to get turned around. Nobody's going to feel better about things. Negativity fuels social media. You could go out. The Mets could have won tonight 20-0. People on Twitter are not going to be happy. Well, what about the previous 7 games? What about last season? What about the fact we've not won a World Series? So no matter what happens, they're not going to be happy. But at least if you want to try to make them feel at least a little connection, the better way to go is to mirror their frustration, unless you just don't have that frustration. And it would be hard for me to believe, if anybody should be frustrated right now, it's Steve Cohen. He's throwing money away. He's throwing money into a fire and getting nothing out of it. He's not even getting the heat off the fire. It's been a disaster. He can have a bad baseball team that misses the playoffs last year and looks at times inept after an offseason filled with changes for a whole lot less money. Like at this point right now, the Mets would have been better off not replacing anybody. Like just cut your loss. We're not bringing back these guys because these guys didn't work. We don't really have any great options to replace them and make the team great right away. So we're just going to hold off. Let's see what the lockout brings. Because the money that they've invested in this team, they would have been better off at this point so far taking that money and lighting it on fire. But for Steve Cohen, at least show that you're as frustrated as the fan base, because the fan base is not. How many games are the Mets into the season now? 19 games into the season? They're not at 19 games. whatever the amount of games from last year, the second half of the season, if it was 81 games, I think it was even before that, but let's say it's 81 games. It's 81 plus the 19. It's 100 games. It's the last 100 games. That's the problem. Because this is picking up right where you left off. And it's worse because you made a bunch of changes and it's not any better. At least last year they won a couple of games. I mean, you've lost 8 games in a row and have never seemed more lost. And speaking of never seeming more lost, I don't know what. Can the Mets do something with Francisco Lindor? I'm not going to tell you I know exactly what they should do, but can you try something? Can you try anything? It's like the old joke about, well, we took the milk out of the fridge, realized it was sour, stuck it back in the fridge, and are hoping it's going to be fresh tomorrow. Like, Francisco Lindor, I realize maybe he's looking a little bit better at the plate, but he had another play in the field last night. That was a tough play, but kind of in-betweened it. It's just another example of how this guy is not locked in. You'd like to see at some point this guy's all of a sudden going to connect, and it's not connecting. Another 0 for 4 last night, 2 more strikeouts, hitting 184, slugging of 289. And this is supposed, and he's not just like the face of the franchise, he's your leadoff hitter. You're having all these problems scoring runs. And a big part of it is the fact that the guy who's supposed to be your star, who's here, who's making a boatload of money, one of the highest paid players in baseball, the highest paid shortstop in the game, we're what, 3 weeks into the season, and the guy has been basically a big fat zero. I mean, he's been so bad, we're having conversations. Do you think he could be concussed? That's how bad he's been. We're actually convincing ourselves, oh, maybe he's concussed. Maybe there's something wrong with his brain. And I can't rule it out. And time and time again, you keep waiting for something to click and for something to get on so that he starts to look like his old self. And maybe the rest of the team can maybe relax because I'm sure they're pressing. Right? New guys and a new team and a new spot, new teammates, a New York team, even though they're on the road. You'd like to think that it's relying on the guys who are the holdovers to kind of get you into a spot where, all right, we can kind of relax a little bit and let the game come to us, so to speak. But Francisco Lindor has been so bad, and yet every single day, put him atop of the lot. We can't move him down. We can't sit him for a day. Can't do anything. Just going to keep trotting him out there until eventually he's better. Hoping that it happens at some point. I mean, the season's not going to be over, you think, by the time it happens. But at this point, the start that he's gotten off to, you're starting to have vibes of that first season. That's how bad it's been. Because, again, he is not bad every April. That is not true. So what is the problem this time around? I'm not sure. But can the Mets try something? Can they do something? They've not tried anything. They've not moved him down. They've not given him a day. Nothing. Just let's keep rolling the dice. Eventually, one of these times, we got to hit on something. And yet, nothing. Another 0 for 4 last night. So you're sitting now at 7-12 on the season, an 8-game losing skid, and it's a continuation of last year. New players, some new faces, same results. The only positive, and look, I'm trying to follow in the lead of Steve Cohen and try to find some positives at this point. I would say the one positive that I could come up with, and certainly want to hear from you at 888-808-1019. The one thing you can say from now on is whatever the Mets season becomes from this point forward, or whenever Juan Soto gets back, I don't want to hear any more about, well, you know, the problem with the Mets is that Soto and Lindor don't get along. It's not a coincidence that the Mets have hit the skids while Juan Soto is not here. So I don't really care what their relationship is. The Mets need Juan Soto back in the absolute worst way, because maybe he'll be able to get the team going. Maybe putting him in the lineup will be... You got to try something. You got to try something different, because you take a look at the lineup, it's a nightmare. Even guys who you feel like, well, he's gotten off to a pretty good start. Luis Robert, he's hitting .241, slugging of .345. Now he's got it on base. He's hit a couple of home runs. Okay, fine. 0-for-4 last night. A couple of strikeouts. Bo Bichette, I thought that was a good signing. The one good piece of news there, it's not going to be a one-year deal if this keeps up. He's not going to opt out if he continues to hit .228 with an on-base of .271 and a slugging of .304. You know, we thought that the learning the new position at third base was going to be the issue, not hitting. Hitting was supposed to be the strong suit. And then for all the talk about the Yankee bottom of the lineup, the Met bottom of the lineup is not exactly murderer's row either. Carson Benj, Simeon had a hit last night, whoop-de-doo. But at least we can now put to rest that the Mets' problem is that Juan Soto and Francisco Lindor don't get along. If they're the greatest enemies in the world, if they're the Hatfields and the McCoys, I don't really care. You need to have somebody get in this lineup that can actually come up with a big hit at a time and actually score some runs. And it kind of shows you as well, you know, the Mets are kind of doing this in a different way, and yet when the Yankees struggle, it will always be pointed out, well, obviously the Yankees struggle because they live and die by the home run. They live and die by the home run, and that's a flawed plan. Even though that plan has been the plan for, I think it's now the last six World Series champions, they've all finished top five in home runs for a season and have all hit a ton of home runs in the postseason. It's not like it goes away come playoff time. But when the Yankees struggle, we always see, well, you know, it's just because they live and die with the home run. They're swinging from their heels and, you know, you run into a good pitcher and that's not going to work. The Mets' plan is to play for contact, right? They're going to grind at bats. They're not guys, they'll hit some home runs, but they don't really play for home runs, right? Bo Bichette, he'll hit some home runs. Hit a huge one last year in the playoff, but he's not a home run hitter per se. He's just a good all-around hitter. Mets play to contact. But that's kind of run into some problems too, because if you hit the ball on the ground enough, as the Mets hit a ton of balls on the ground, with the defensive metrics being what there is, and the team's positioning guys, even with the shift being gone, you hit the ball on the ground enough, it's not going to lead to good results. And even if you're hitting it super hard, it negates the exit velo if you're hitting it on the ground, right? You can hit it on the ground all you want. More times than not, if you're hitting the ball on the ground, they're going to be outs. So we can all point to the individual players, and we will. Francisco Lindor has been terrible. And for the guy who's supposed to be the face of the franchise, really disappointing at a time where you need to get off to a good start and you need to overcome the loss of your highest paid player in Juan Soto. And Francisco Lindor has been basically a zero. He's been in there every single day. He's been at the top of the lineup every single day. Never move him down, never move him around, never sit him down, never apparently have a talk with him or anything. We just keep trotting him out there. But he's not alone. Bo Bichette's been terrible. The offense in general has been terrible. And even though the pitching at times has been shaky with Peterson and certainly Senga at times, if you're not scoring runs, if you're scoring runs the way the Mets score runs, the biggest problem is your offense. And right now, the Mets' offense is a major problem. And it just shows you for all the time. We won't have that conversation. You know, maybe the Mets' plan is kind of flawed. Maybe the Mets' plan is kind of flawed. Maybe just having a bunch of grinders who hit the ball on the ground, maybe that's not the best approach. Maybe we should have gone out and signed a couple of more home run hitters, because that might actually get us a three spot And right now the Mets are desperate for a three spot. Because every single night it feels like they fall behind, and if they get a run, you feel like, all right, there's their run. Like with the McLean on the mound the other night. You got to run. Make it work. Make it work. And newsflash, it did not work.